Revelations from chapter 19, verses 7 through 9. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. To her it has been granted to be clothed with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true words of God, the word of the Lord.
As we noted, this is our stewardship emphasis this fall, and we're going to be preaching on the theme, eat, pray, give. And today we're celebrating the idea of eating. Eating always conjures friends, family, gratitude, joy shared, and we were able to have a nice meal between services this morning and even play some bingo during that and have a little fun with that. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Paul and I heard an excellent speaker on stewardship, and she said that people give for all sorts of different reasons, and therefore it's always good to have different perspectives on why give. And she said one of the real differences is kind of the generational differences on how and why people give. So Pastor Paul and I decided we were going to do something a little different this morning. We're going to do a tag team preaching, a dialogue sermon. And we're each going to take a stab at answering three basic questions. One, why do I give? I think we got it on the screen. Why do I give? What encourages or discourages me to give? And then how do I give? So I'll take a crack at the first question here. Why do I give? I'll start out with kind of poetic, theological, and get a little more practical by the end. A couple years ago at a retreat, I found myself inspired to write this phrase, the life I live is no longer my own, but now I am part of the life, capital L life, all that is going on. And that life is living itself in me, through me, and as me. In other words, at my very best, I really realize that my life is not a possession, but rather it's a gift, an absolute free gift to me. These fall days, that's easy to understand, isn't it? Maybe not so much today, but this past week when the sun was shining and the temperature was just balmy and the leaves were just starting to turn, you realize that all that beauty, you did nothing to deserve it. You did nothing to earn it. It was just all given out there, and it touches your heart. It just lifts your spirit, doesn't it? We all say, well, I work, I achieve stuff. Absolutely, and I'm not taking anything away from that. But, you know, that's only possible because God has given us the basic gift of this incredible body that can do things and make things and perform work. And even more incredibly, God has gifted us with this brain that can think, that can dream, that can figure out, that can accomplish the things that we want. And when we discover that all of this is just being poured out, I think that is what God is at his heart. He is this self-giving love, outflowing, outpouring. And once we realize that, guess what? I think that all those gifts that are come pouring to me, I don't think they're supposed to dead end with me. I don't think God said, I just made all those wonderful gifts here. You have them, you keep them, you hold them tight. I think he invites me to pour myself out just as he does too. Now, one of the best ways to realize this and to celebrate this comes so naturally to us, doesn't it? And that is anytime we want to celebrate something, give thanks for something, what do? We have a meal. Family, friends gather together. That's what God had in mind with that beautiful first lesson today from the book of Deuteronomy. He's talking about the people of Israel coming up to Jerusalem to offer their sacrifices and to worship. And here's what he said should go on when you worship. You should go to the temple bringing there your burnt offerings and your sacrifice, your tithes and your donations, and the first fruits of your herds and flocks. And you shall eat there in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your household together, rejoicing in all the undertakings in which the Lord has blessed you. What a wonderful, wonderful attitude. My father loved to feed his family. He loved to cook for us. He loved to take us out to eat at restaurants. And so it should be no surprise that one of the key influences on why I give was my father. He never sat me down and gave me a lecture about giving, although sometimes I wished he'd been a little more clear, but he did it in a way that was very meaningful and absolutely clear. Every Saturday night, he would get out his checkbook and he would sit down at that kitchen table, the same table where he fed his family, where we celebrated, and he would write out a check and put in his offering envelope so he would be ready for church the next day. What a powerful lesson. What a powerful reason to give.
I also like this beginning theme of eating because, like Pastor Steve said, when we're with people we love, for some reason as humans, sharing a meal together is one of the first things we want to do. We heard in Revelations how at the end of time, you know, the new creation, the way that's represented in that story is this marriage banquet between Jesus and God's people, right? We all share a meal together. So there's this idea that when we're together, we want to share a meal. We certainly understand that in our own culture, right? Like Pastor Steve said, weddings, funerals, everything, we want to share a meal when friends come over. I remember experiencing something like that almost in an extreme way in Kenya. My wife and I did a year of service there, and we were there maybe about 6 months when there was a group that was going to be visiting. It was a church group from Pennsylvania, and they were going to do a week-long mission trip at this orphanage we were at. And so our African friends who ran that orphanage came along, and they said, hey, these people are from Pennsylvania are coming today. We're going to throw a meal for them, you know, at about 6 p.m. And we thought, you know, of course you are. That's what we do. That'll be great. We'll share a meal together. And so, you know, it's 6 comes along and they're not here, 7 comes along. Eventually we hear through the grapevine that their flight has kind of been delayed, so they're probably going to be an hour or two late. So, you know, whatever, we hang around at our apartment waiting for the meal to begin. So it's, you know, 6, 7, 8, eventually it gets to 10 or 11, we haven't heard anything new, they're just not here yet. And so we think, well, we're going to go to sleep, we can meet and greet them in the morning. Well, we go to sleep. At about 2 in the morning, we get a knock on our apartment door. We open the door. It's one of our African friends, and they say, hey, the Pennsylvanians are here. We have to go eat a meal now. We're thinking, 2 in the morning? Okay, so we get up, you know, kind of get dressed again and go to this meal, and these poor Pennsylvanians are like zombies. You know, they've been traveling for like a day and a half, probably wondering why they have to eat a meal at 2 in the morning. But, you know, for Kenyans, you just had to do it. Like, it would be a slap in the face if you didn't have a meal with someone to welcome them into the community. So we kind of get that when we've been given to and when we're in relationship, we kind of want to share a meal. Well, as we move in this theme, like Pastor Steve said, we're going to be answering these three questions. The first one, why do I give? I want to answer this question in two ways. First of all, I'm motivated to give when I realize that I have been blessed by God, right? When I realize that the things I have are a gift from God, then I want to give back. And this is probably true for all of us, right? We give most generously when we realize that God has been generous to us. And not just a little bit generous, but that God has been abundantly generous to us with blessings. I don't always like to admit this abundance, right? I don't always like to admit that I've been blessed by God because it feels better to just tell myself that what I have is what I've earned, it's what I've worked hard for, and that's why I have what I have. And let me say this clearly, of course, hard work does count. Hard work is important. Hard work helps us in this world. But hard work only really counts when it's built upon God's gifts, which we have no control over, which are pure gifts, which we did not give to ourselves. You know, for instance, I didn't, and probably none of you earned the right to live in America in the 21st century. I have a picture here. That's a picture of Syria today, right? This is someone's house or apartment. They're having a horrible civil war there. And, you know, sometimes I just stop and remind myself that I could be this poor family who had dreams and that's their home right now, right? That could be us, but it's not. We're not this people who live in this country. We're a people who live in pretty much the most wealthy and secure country in all of history compared to other times and places. I didn't earn being raised in a faithful environment where I got to know Jesus. I didn't earn having parents who care about me and who taught me that I'm loved and who encouraged me to go to college. I didn't create the people in my life. I didn't decide what my kids are going to be like or what my wife is going to be like or my family and friends. Those are just gifts, right? My abilities are gifts. And so I think when we realize that we've been gifted and we stop and we think about it for a second, hopefully the emotion we feel is a sense of gratitude. And we can page beyond that. I don't want to... And you know, we start feeling gratitude. And when we feel gratitude, I think what happens, hopefully in our hearts also, is that we want to somehow give back as a sense of thank you. And so that's the first thing. I give when I realize I've received and I'm thankful. Secondly, I'm motivated to give when I think what I'm giving to is making a difference in the world in a positive way. In the sense of church, I give to a church when I feel like it's doing God's work in the world. Right? You know, we don't want to just give to balance a budget. We don't want to just give to perpetuate an institution or to give even just out of a sense of duty. We want to give to a church or anything else that we believe is doing God's work in the world. And so for me, the story of what's happening is really important if I'm going to give to something. In the case of Trinity, I want to hear about how worship life is feeding people's spiritual need. I want to hear how people are growing and learning, our young people, our old people. I want to hear about how the banquet is feeding people who are hungry for food and hungry for community. So those are the two things for me. Knowing that I've been blessed helps me give, and knowing that what I can give to does positive things in the world helps me give.
So what encourages or discourages my giving? I'm going to give a reason that all the stewardship experts say you should not mention, but it's real to me. I think we need to give because we need to keep an organization running. And that's the fact. And what a great organization. And what things we accomplish together as an organization. Things we can do together that we couldn't do alone. So many ways it's exciting to see the young people, to be able to share our faith with them. Last Wednesday, after confirmation, we had this car bash. We had an old car out here, and we just had fun letting people take a whack at it with a sledgehammer. Guess what? All the confirmation age boys whacked at that car for an hour and a half, and I literally had to pry the sledgehammer from their hand to make them to stop. They were having so much fun doing this. I'm reminded constantly of why this organization exists. Last week I was at the hospital visiting with a woman who's struggling with an ongoing illness, and the end isn't out of sight yet, isn't in sight yet for her, and it's a real challenge. But in the midst of the conversation, she said, "But you know, I am so blessed to have all my friends at Trinity. They are like my family." Now that's exciting, that's thrilling. But the downside of running an organization is we have to keep the lights on, and we have to make sure that the heat and the air conditioning are going, and that the bathrooms are working, and that any of a myriad things go on in order to make this happen. And sometimes it's discouraging when things break down and the money isn't just immediately there. But that's when I have to remind myself, why do we keep the lights on here? We keep the lights on here because ministry is happening here. There's worship, there's education. We marry, we bury, we celebrate the life passages here. We feed the poor. That's what motivates me to keep this place going.
So what encourages or discourages me to give? I'm going to kind of start with the discourage side, kind of flip it that way. What discourages me to give? Three things. First of all, when I neglect my spiritual life, I tend to be discouraged to give. What I notice is that when I don't feel connected to God, I quickly start to feel, lose connection to this sense of thanksgiving that I've been blessed, and I start to believe that what I have is only my own, and I don't owe it to God to let those blessings flow to others. And so for me, a lot of times, when I look in my life and I notice that I don't want to give, it's usually a symptom of a spiritual issue that I'm not connected to God, that I've forgotten how blessed I am. So for me, spirituality and giving, whether money or just time and you know, giving in relationships, they go hand in hand because giving is part of spirituality. So that's the first thing. Not feeling connected to God hurts my giving. Secondly, like I mentioned earlier, when I don't believe in a cause, I'm probably not going to give to it. You know, if I see a group asking me for money, but it doesn't seem like they're doing God's work in the world. Why should I give to it? If a church is really wrapped into caring for its building or budget, but doesn't seem very much into caring for people, why should any of us give to it? If the activity of the church isn't lined up with God's mission in general, right, I wouldn't give to it. So for me, there's a real need for the mission of an organization to line up with what is actually important that God asked us to do. So that's the second thing. You know, I'm going to need to see the organization is lined up with God's purposes. And then thirdly, the thing that discourages me from giving is feeling like I don't have enough resources to give of them. So you probably all know that the traditional amount that Christians have been asked to give is to give 10% of what they have. And of course, giving 10% can be really hard when money is short. And in fact, let me say this really clearly. For some people, giving 10% of their income may not be possible. If you're starting your career, if you're in college, if you've had a medical issue, if you have just too many costs and you can't keep up with them all, you know, paying 10% may not be a thing you can do at this season in your life. And hear me say that that is okay. I'm sure God is okay with it. There are other ways to give. We're okay with it. We understand that. So, you know, we give of what we have and we give what we can. But let me say this too. Since I became a pastor here, so about 3 years, my family and I have pretty much been on a single income budget. I'm the only one who's working right now. And we have managed to give 10% of my income pretty much throughout this 3 years. And it's not always easy. You know, money is sometimes tight. I have two children. We have a mortgage. Sometimes things go on the credit card to make bills, to pay our bills. But we give 10% every month because 10% is the first thing that comes out of my paycheck. And like I say, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it takes a sacrifice. But I've found that I'm surprised how much I can give when giving is one of the priorities in my budget and in my life. So I'd just like to invite all of you, we're all in our own place, but to pray and reflect on your giving and to think about how much you're giving, not just financially, but maybe in other areas of your life, and think about challenging yourself in a positive way, in a blessing kind of way of, is there more I can give back to God because I've realized how much I've been blessed? You might be surprised how much you can give.
Thank you. Your story, your example is, I'm so grateful for. When we have been joined, our staff, by new pastors out of seminary, I always feel I have to go have the talk with them, the stewardship talk, because I know it's a challenge, and I know that people in seminary, I don't know that they're always taught what giving is about, and I think it's just absolutely essential for leadership to be modeling a 10%, or at least working towards it, it shows integrity. It shows good leadership. So I always feel I have to go with someone new on our staff and have that talk about their stewardship. And I went to Paul because it is a personal thing, and it is kind of embarrassing. You don't want to get into all that stuff, but I think it was that important. So I said to him, well, what about your stewardship? And he immediately said what he said today. We work towards 10%. That's our goal. And I thought, what a blessing. What a wonderful blessing. So the third question, how do I give? I still write a check. Real old school. I write a check once a month. It's not that I haven't figured out the internet and electronic giving. I do know how to balance my checkbook online. I do pay most of my bills through online bill pay. It's really, really easy. But I save my church offering because it's a little matter of devotion for me. I get paid once a month, and one of the first checks I write is to the church here. And it just gives me the opportunity to slow down and realize the blessings that I have. Of course, some months I don't think about it. I just think, oh, I got to get that check in an envelope and get it to church quick. But most of the time, it just gives me just a pause so that I don't take it for granted, so I can actually look at this check and realize the gifts that is from God that are being given to me, and that in some small way, I get to share it back. It brings me joy.
So yeah, how do I give? Of all the categories, this is probably most, there's no right or wrong. This is just a preference thing. And you kind of get into this generational stereotype, and it's sort of true for Steve and I, that for a lot of people under 40, electronic giving is what they like to do. And that's true for me as well, because it's easy for me, and it's not something I have to worry about or think about very hard for giving to happen. So when I took my call here, we went to our bank and we set up an automatic monthly payment to Trinity of 10% out of my paycheck. And so every month, at the beginning of the month, my tithe goes where it needs to go. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to worry about budgeting for it or remembering it, because it's the first thing that happens. So for me, it's convenient, and I love electronic giving. I know for some people, they like writing a check. And that's totally okay. If you really like writing checks, write your checks. That's fantastic. But if you hate writing a check like me, which I hate writing checks and I'll forget to do it, then electronic giving is a great option out there. And you can certainly talk to one of the staff people, myself or Steve or someone else on staff, and we can help get you set up if you have any questions about that. But I think more important than how you give, check, electronic, is that we give and that we value giving in our life. So that's sort of our message today. We hope that this sort of dialogue thing has been helpful for you guys as you think about your own giving. Next week, we're going to move from the category of eat into the category of pray, where we'll be pondering, you know, after we've recognized the gifts we have in our life, how do we start to spiritually connect with God so that God can give us a sense of guidance in the midst of our prayers. So that's what we'll be thinking about.